Now, we're holding on Kuf Tes Amud Aleph, the Mishnah. Continuing on the topic of Shvut Echutz and Halal Bechutz, so the Mishnah says, Echad Kodshim Ksherim, whether we're talking about Kodshim that were kosher all along, and then he took them out of the Azara and offered them, the Echad Kodshim Psulim Shoye Psulim Bakodesh, or if the Psul, but it was Psulim Bakodesh, the Psul was of the kind that we learned earlier in the Masechta, im olu lo yodu, where if they're placed on the Mizbeach, then they don't come down from it. We talked about earlier in the Masechta, we had different opinions of Tanoim on the subject, we had a Machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, what Psul and Bakodesh means, whether it means that the Psul actually took place in the Azara, or whether it means something that applies only to Kodshim, etc. In any case, the point is, those also, they would have been able to be brought in the Kodesh, in the sense that, as we said, im olu lo yodu, if they are placed on the Mizbeach, then we leave them there and we don't take them off. Therefore, now, when he goes and brings them outside the Beis Hamikdash, then he's chayav for that. So they prove him bachutz. Either way, when he was makir them outside the Azara, chayav, then he's going to be chayav kores or achatos, because this was what's called rori lover bifnim. It was suitable to be brought inside the Azara, and therefore he's chayav for bringing it outside the Azara. As we go through, you know, as we're going through this parak and the next one, we're going to see basically any time that we see that something is kosher inside the Azara, then the general rule is going to be that doing the equivalent thing outside the Azara makes the person chayav kares or achatas. For example, we had about one sprinkling of water of achatas, given that we learned earlier in the Masechta that they still hold, and the halacha is like them, that one daubing of blood for a chatas, one application of blood for a chatas, is enough for it to be kosher b'dieved. Then the flip side of it is, if a person does that one application to a mizbeach outside the azara, then he's chayav. And so, and similarly, other examples. Continues the Mishnah. If a person brings outside the azara a kizayis of a combination, of a combination of the oila and of the emurin of the oila, bachutz, outside the azara, chayev, then he would be chayev, because all of it is anyway burnt on the mizbeach, so we don't care that we have less than a kezayis of meat and less than a kezayis of chaylev. It doesn't matter, because all of it was going to be burnt together. As opposed to, we'll see in the Gemara, that when it comes to shlomim or other such korbanos, where only the emurin are offered on the mizbeach, then there are different rules. So the Gemara starts off, Tana Rabbanan. The Pasuk says, in this connection of Halah Bachot, Asher Yala Oila Oizavach, that if a person offers an Oila or any other carbon, so first, just from the words Oila alone, Shetuk Rebetzos actually takes out the words Oizavach, because first the Braisa is going to douse in just the word Oila by itself, Ein Liela Oila. If the Torah had said only Asher Yala Oila, you would think that maybe the person is Chayv Kores or Achatas only if he offered an Oila outside the Azara. How do we know to include also the emurim of an osham, the emurim chatos, or the chatos, both of which the emurim are burnt on the mizbeach, the emurim kodshe kodshim, the emurim kodshim kalim, and the emurim of all kodshe kodshim and kodshim kalim? Now, kodshe kodshim include oila, osham, chatos, and we already listed all of those, but Rashi points out the kodshe kodshim that the Braisa will be referring to is the zivche shalmet zibur, the shlomim that are brought on Shavuos, together with the Shtei Alechem, which we'll learn much more about them in Menachos in a few weeks, in a couple of months. So those are also the Emurim of Burnt on the Mizbeach. The rest of the Korban is eaten by the Koyanim. So all those things, and also the Emurim of Kodshim Kalim, such as Shlomim, Todah, Pesach, etc. Talmud, how do we know that if a person offers them outside the Beis Hamikdash also, he's Chayev the same thing? Talmud Lema Zavach. Therefore, the Pasuk says that he shechts a Zevach, which means a Zevach narrowly means a Shlomim, but more generally, we've learned several times in the Masechta that it includes any korban which is shechted. As far as birds, we talked about, we learned a couple of days ago that we had a different limud for birds, and then if their bird is shechted, then we talked about that not. So we talked about that there's birds, that there's a difference whether malika or shita was done with them. We talked about that we had a machlokas or bishmor or makiva on how exactly we learn whether whether if he shechts a bird outside the azara is he chayev according to the makiva or potter according to the bishmor. The point is that we have the word zevach includes all these things that we just listed that are meant to be burnt on the mizbeach. Minayim l'rabbis ha-koimetz. How do we know that we should also include in this regard the koimetz of the mincha, if he offered it outside the azara, v'ha-levoina, or the levoina that's supposed to go on a mincha? For that matter, a person can bring levoina by itself as a korban. Factoris, or the ptoris that he offers outside the azara, or minchas koyanim, or the mincha of a koyan, which unlike the mincha of Yisrael is completely burnt, or minchas koyan mashiach, or the mincha of the koyan mashiach, the minchas chavitin that the koyan gadol brings every day. Tosfos points out that even though those both have the same basic rule, they're both completely burnt on the Mizbeach, there's a difference in how they're made. The regular Kohen's Mincha would consist of one Isaron of flour and one lug of oil. The Mincha's Kohen Mashiach consists of a half Isaron in the morning and a half Isaron in the afternoon, and you have more oil with it. Choices points out to whether the Mishnah, the Braisa should have also mentioned Mincha's Nisachim. Anyway, or if a person pours three lugim of wine that were meant for the korbanos outside the azara. Now, when it comes to the nesachim that come with korbanos, you have three different sizes. With a sheep, you bring with a lamb, with a sheep, anything from the sheep family other than a ram, you bring one quarter of a hin, which is three lugim. With a ram, you bring one third of a hin, which is four logim, and with any kind of cattle, you bring a half a hin, which is six logim. Three is the smallest of those, so therefore, once a person pours three log of wine, then he's chayav because that's the minimum amount that would have been valid for nesachim. Or shloshes logim mayim, or three logim of water, specifically where this water was designated for the nesach hamayim, and it is in fact on Sukkos. Rashi points out, after all, halos chutz doesn't apply to chulin. So if a person stam took water and poured it outside the azara, even if he said it's for Hashem, he wouldn't be chayav anything because nobody had ever been makdish this water and designated it that it's going to be for the nisach hamayim. But if a person did and it was actually during Sukkos, then he would be chayav. And the minimum again is three lugim of water because that's the amount that would be poured on Sukkos. There is an opinion in the Mishnah in Sukkot of Yehuda there says that they would use one lug. So the pashtus appointed to him, it would be the same kind of thing over here that appointed to him one lug would be enough to make a person chayav. Anyway, the Braisa says, how do we know that all those things are also included? That if he does any of those outside the azara, then he's chayav. Therefore, the pasuk says he does not bring it to the entrance of the oil moed, implying anything which was supposed to come to the door of the oil moed, that a person is chayav for bringing it outside the azara. So there you go. Because the Torah doesn't just say oila and zavah, it says lo yivienu. He doesn't bring it. So we learn from that all of these things that were meant to be brought in the azara are that a person is chayiv who brings them outside the azara. So we learn from that kol abola pesach oil moed, anything that was supposed to come to the door of the oil moed, chayiv and alabachot, that a person would be chayiv for offering it outside the azara. Next, the Ein Li'ala Kodshim Kshelim. Now, that would we know so far. We would know so far only if the korban is kosher. Minayim l'rabbis psulin. How do we know certain kinds of psulin are included as well? As we said in the Mishnah, we're psulin b'kodesh. However we define psulin b'kodesh, whether it means that they became posel in the azara or whether it's a psul that applies only to kodshim. So how do we know to include those? Kogoyin halon, for example, if the blood of the emurim were left overnight, and we've learned many times in our Masechta that makes them posel. Actually, not even overnight. We talked about that the blood becomes posel by shkia, for example. Vayyotze, or if it's taken out of the azara. Now, by definition, of course, to offer it outside the azara means you have to take it outside the azara. So the Chofetz Chaim points out that you might, without this ribu, you might have thought, listen, if he takes it out, davka, having in mind to offer it outside, then the Torah says he's chayav. But let's say, for example, it stam got taken out. No, nobody realized. Somebody accidentally took it out. So it was, and then somebody decided, you know what? It's outside. Let me just be mak with it over here. We wouldn't know from that. We wouldn't know by that logic that it should still be included that he should still be chayav. Or is sort of chatas, and therefore we need to be told over here specifically by Yotze as well. That tome, or the blood of the emurim became tome. All of these things, as we learned back and the ninth perek are all in Olu Yer, in Olu Lo Yerdu. If they are placed on the Mizbeach, then we leave them there and we don't take them back off. And we continue B'shenish Chutzas Mane V'Chutzim Koymo, or it was shechted with a thought of Chutzas Mane, which makes it Pigul, or Chutzim Koymo, which makes it Possel. But nevertheless, those are all psulim b'chodesh. B'shekibu psulim v'zoku es domoy, or psulim such as zorim or bali mumim or whatever all the lists that we had way back in the second parak. If any of them did the kabbalah v'zoku es domoy, or they sprinkled its blood, or you have blood that was supposed to be placed on the lower half of the mizbeach below the chut asikra, and instead he did them on the top half. Where we learned that makes the korban, that makes the korban possible. We said to a limited extent, we learned much earlier in our Masechta, that to a certain extent it may be kosher in the sense that now the korban still has kedusha and you continue to offer it. We're talking about shalom and koyman, give a koyman dummy in the second parak, but nevertheless the korban is not actually kosher to eat. But it is in Ololo Yerudu, nevertheless it is psulim b'chodesh, and if you do that, then you don't take it off the mizbeach. Or vice versa, blood that was supposed to go on the top half of the mizbeach, a chatas of an animal, an olas ha'oif, shenosn lamata, and he did them on the lower half. Or blood of a korban that was supposed to go on the outer mizbeach, and instead he did it on the inner mizbeach. In the case of a chatas, we learned earlier in the Masechta that that's possible, that it now becomes possible. In the case of other korbanos, we had a machloikas. So the ones that were supposed to go on the inside that we mistakenly did on the outside. Or in the case of the Pesach of Chatas, where he applied the blood Shalom Lishman, or did any of the other fundamental avodas Shalom Lishman, where we learned all the way at the beginning of the Masechta that those things, that unlike other korbanos which remain kosher and just they don't count to the owners, these are outright possible. Nevertheless, Minayin, how do we know that all these things are, that nevertheless he's chayev for bringing them outside the Azara? Talmud Lomar, therefore the Pasuk says, Lo Yivi Enu Lasos, he does not bring them to be made or to be done. From which we learn, call him a scabble, the pest oyomoyed, anything which would have been acceptable, v'diyeved, at the door of the oyomoyed in the Azara, chayov and olabachot, that a person is chayov for doing them outside, because in ololoyev. In ololoyev, and ololoyevdu means not even, we learned, when we learned that whole matter, in ololoyevdu, earlier in the Masechta, I don't know if we spelled it out then, but the point of ololoyevdu is not even if it actually gone into the fire. Then we said that there were even outright psulim that nevertheless remain in the fire because they're already called lachmo shel mizbeach, the food of the mizbeach. Here we're talking about that once they were brought to the top of the mizbeach, when we talk about over there, maybe even the top of the kevesh, then already we lachatchila go and put them into the fire, even though they have the one or another of these psulim. So therefore, they are roi lasos. Rashi explains the word lasos means even if it's not roi to bring, it's not lo yivienu, it's not something you should have brought into the azara in the first place because it's possible. Nevertheless, you did. Im ololo yodu, and the Koyan should be trying to get them burnt or bring them up to the Ma'arafa, so therefore we can call it lasos. We can say that therefore even these psulim are all included. But Amram actually, when he brings this halacha, he learns actually a little bit differently, since the pasuk says lasos oiser lashem, that it means that anything that's offered to Hashem has this iser of halah b'chutz and the chiyuv of kores or chatas involved. So not so much lasis, but rather the fact that lasis oisa lashem. And the Evan Ozel, Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, explains why the Rambam learns that way. Udiru in the Masechta, Tosfos brings up a point that we learned earlier in the Masechta, that if a shlomim is shechted before the doors of the Heichal are open, then it's possible. Rashi had said that applies to a shlomim, and according to Tosfos, it ought to apply to all korbanos. We talked about this when we learned the Ben. So now the question is, Tosfos had asked certain questions on Rashi, and therefore, and now, according to the Rambam, it's a yes, if a person were to shech a shlomim outside the Beis Mikdash before the Heichal is open, and Rashi is saying other korbanos would be kosher, still, if a person shechts a shlomim there, it's not lasis oisei l'Hashem, because the fact is it wouldn't have been able to be brought to Hashem at this point because the doors of the Heichal weren't opened yet. So, according to Rashi, so, if you followed Rashi, the Heichal lasis, then you'd have to ask, shouldn't you, after all, be offering it, but according to the Rambam, then it works out. So that's where we learn the dinim of our Mishnah, that if it was kosher or if it was psulei b'kodesh, then he's still chayav for offering it outside the azara. Okay. Now, the Mishnah had said, amal kezayis min ha'oila chula, that if a person had offered a kezayis of an oila, and we said even if the entire kezayis was not only flesh or only chelev, it was part one, part the other, he'd still be chayav because the oila is completely burnt on the mizbeach. So that's what Gemara points out. Oila ve'emurei ha'ein, only we're saying the oila to some of the body of the oila and some of the emurim, then we're saying they would combine together because they're all burnt. They're all supposed to be burnt on the mizbeach. Shlomim ve'emurei ha'loi, but the Mishnah is implying that if a person were to take part of the meat of a shlomim and part of the chelev of the shlomim and make up kezayis of the two of them and burn it on the mizbeach, then he would not, that would burn it outside the Azara, he would be potter because you don't have a complete kezayis of what was meant to be offered on the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, Tanein Aloha, the Tanein Abanon. With this, it means that in our Mishnah, we've learned by implication what it says explicitly in a Braisa, which the rule, the point of that is, the point is the Gemara wants you to know that Braisa is definitely reliable and you can bring it in the Beis Medrash and use it to ask questions and so forth, because the very fact that what it says is implied in the Mishnah means that it's accurate and that it's accurate and not that the Tana, the Braisa, got it wrong or it's only according to a Das Yochid, etc. Anyway, the Braisa says, Tana Rabbanan, Oila Va'emureha, with South and the Kazayis. In fact, this Braisa comes from Kesefta, which is the collection of Braises that Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Oshia put together, which the Gemara mentions in a number of places is considered extremely reliable. Anyway, the Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Oila Va'emureha, with South and the Kazayis, La'alois and Bachot, the Oila together with its Emurim, combined together, the body of the Oila and the Emurim combined together to make up a Kazayis, La'alois and Bachot. Where if a person offers them outside the Azara, then he's chayev, or the chayev alein, mishum pigul nos of the tome. And also, that if a person were to eat, that a person would be chayev on them for pigul nos of the tome. At this point, the Gemara is assuming that we mean if you eat a kezayis combined of the meat and the emurim of the oila, and then this oila was pigul, or this was nos or was tome. At this point, the person was tome. At this point, the Gemara is assuming that this part of the Braisa is referring to eating it. And that would imply, in other words, that would be only by an oila. So that's the Gemara asks. The Shlemaha lost oila. I can understand why by an oila there's a difference, shikolo, because since it's completely burnt on the Mizbeach, ein, then yes, we would say that the meat and the emurim combine together, because as far as an oila is concerned, there's no difference. The whole thing, in effect, is emurim. Shlomim loy, and the shlomim not, because the shlomim, the meat was never meant to go on the Mizbeach anyway, so we can't say on it, lo yivienu lashem. Ella, but we have to ask the people of the noise of the tome. But as far as the case is, where the korban was made pigul, or was left over and became noser, or the person is tomei, why? My timer, why should we say that a shlomim shouldn't combine? The pigul and noser and tomei apply to all of them. Whether it comes to the meat, whether it comes to the emurim, everything, all of those things apply. Rashi refers to, we learned about this in the fourth parak of our Masechta, that whenever you have something that has matirim, then whenever you have something which you need some other part of it to be offered in order to have a valid, in order to then go on to the next stage of the korban, then pigul, noser, and tomei will apply. Now, in the case of the emurim, what do? You sprinkle the blood of the korban, then the emurim become mutter to offer on the mizbeach. You offer the emurim, and then you're able to eat the blood. So it comes out that both of them have matirim. And therefore, and Rashi goes on to point out, we also learned over there that there are things that don't have matir in. For example, the koimetz itself, there's nothing that's matir the koimetz, because the koimetz is its own matir. You put it on the mizbeach and it's matir the rest of the mincha. And the fact is that a person is not chayiv for them, for pigul, they'd be chayiv for noiser and tomei. Well, then emurim, certainly pigul would be noig, because again, emurim have a matir, namely the blood. So what are you telling me then? The implication of the Braisa is that only by an Ola do they combine, but by a Shlomim or other Korbanos not. Why not? When it comes to Pigul, we should say it doesn't matter. You only have a half Kazayas of meat and a half a Kazayas of Chelev. Why should it have Emurim? Why should it not combine together that now if a person eats that combined Kazayas, he should not be Chayev? So, we learn in a Mishnah in Eila. Kol ha-figul and mitzdarfin, all pigul combines together, v'chol ha-nisorin mitzdarfin, and all noiser combines. Tosfos has some discussion over here, combines as far as what? Are we talking about as far as combining, as far as Me'ila, which is the subject of Masechta Me'ila? Then Tosfos has some questions, it doesn't seem to work. Is it talking about as far as Bachurts that we're talking about over here? So Tosfos says that we are in fact talking as far as eating it, which is the subject of this part of the sugya over here. So the Mishnah seems to be saying then that if a person were to eat a half kazayas, when the korban is pigul, and he ate half a kazayas of the meat and half a kazayas of the chaylev, he would in fact be chayev. So kasha pigul are pigul, kasha noser are noser. So then you have a contradiction. The Mishnah in Me'ila is saying that pigul and noser, everything combines together, and the person is chayev, and the person is chayev for eating kazayas, even if it's partly meat and partly emurim. But then the Braisa that we just quoted, and we just said it's a very reliable Braisa because it's implied in our Mishnah, is saying that this kind of combination applies only to an Ola and not on other Korbanos. And the same question as far as Noisi. And the same thing as far as Tomei, for that matter. So what's the story? And in fact, Tosfos points out, it didn't say Kol HaTomos Mitzdarfin, even though that's true, that all cases where a person is Tomei, the same din would apply if he ate a half Kazayas of the meat and half Kazayas of the Emorim. Tosfos points out the reason that Braisa didn't say that, the reason on the Mishnah and the Ila rather didn't say that, is because then we would misunderstand and think that Kol HaTomos means all different types of sources of Tumah, and those don't combine because different sources of Tumah cannot necessarily combine because they have different shiurim. If you were to have, let's say, a half a Kazayas of a Nevela and a half Kazayas of a Mess, they wouldn't be Matame because even though they have the same shiur of Kazayas, they have different degrees of Tumah of a Mess as Matame, but Oihel, a Nevela is nothing. Same thing with the Sheretz and so forth. So therefore, the Mishnah didn't mention Kol HaTomos Mitzdarfin, even though it is perfectly true from the point of view of the person who's Tomei, that if he eats a half kazayas of meat from a korban and a half kazayas of chaylev, then he will, of a morim, then he will in fact be chayim. So what's the story over here? Does this concept apply to all korbanos other than Ola, as the Mishnah in Me'ila implies, or does it apply only to the Ola as the Braisa as the Braisa from Tosefta that's based on our Mishnah implies or says? So the answer is no. Pigul are pigul like kasha. There's no contradiction as far as the two cases of pigul. Can the pigul can the machsheves pigul? Because of the difference between actually eating pigul itself versus the thought of pigul. Yes, when a person eats pigul, then he's going to be chayev. He's going to be chayev korei sura chatos if he ate a half kazayas of meat and half a kazayas of emurim. So that would be the Mishnah in Me'ila is talking about that. When the Braisa that we quoted on our Mishnah says that only by an Ola do they not combine, what we mean is when he has in mind, when he creates the pigul in the first place, by having in mind that he's going to do a half kazayas of one and a half a kazayas of the other, then only by an Ola would that work, because by an Ola the thing is completely burnt. So therefore, again, by the Ola, the meat and the emunim all have the same status, as opposed to by a shlomim or any other korban, where much of it is going to be eaten, then the din would not apply, because if he has in mind as we learned all about pigul in the third parak, is that if he's going to have in mind to eat half a kazayas of the meat and burn half a kazayas of the emurim, or for that matter, even if he has in mind to eat all of them, then it wouldn't work. It wouldn't become pigul, because it has to be lechol dover kedarka lechol lahakter dover shadarka lahakter. It has to be that he that he has in mind to eat what is meant to be eaten and to burn what is meant to be burnt, and the Emurim are not meant to be eaten, and the Korban is not meant to be burnt. So therefore, the Braisa on Mishnah is saying that only by an Ola, if he has in mind that he's going to eat half a kazayas of meat and half a kazayas of Emurim, then only by an Ola would that be a thought of tickle and actually make the Korban, and actually would that be a Machshava that's effective and make the Korban tick, because by the Ola, the Emurim and the meat are the same thing, it would not work by any other Korban. As opposed to when it comes to actually eating table, then the Mishnah Me'ilah is telling us that he's chayev regardless, because yes, once it comes to the point of eating it, then the meat and the emurim are all the same thing. So that takes care of table. Noisa on noisa like Kasha. Similarly, there's no contradiction as far as the matter of noisa. Can the noisir can bishni toisu adshal nizim kadam. The Mishnah in Me'ilah is talking about actually eating noser. So yes, with all korbanos, it will combine together if he eats a half kazayas of noser of the flesh and a half kazayas of noser of the emorim, he will be chayim. But the braisa that we brought before on our Mishnah, when it says that it applies only to Ola, it's talking about something else. Mishnah tosu adshal nizrak adam. It means when they were left over before the blood was sprinkled. So most of the meat or most of the emurim are lost and the blood has not yet been sprinkled. So then when it comes to an ola, because anyway the whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach, therefore the meat and the emurim can combine, and as long as you have at least a kazayas in total of between blood and chaylev, then you can sprinkle the blood, and it is a kosher korban, and then noser will kick in. Now you have the clock starts ticking for the deadline for this korban, and if he eats it after the time, then he's going to be chayim. As opposed to, in other words, when it comes to a shlomim or anything else, then if you have a half kazayas of meat and a half kazayas of emurim, you cannot sprinkle the blood, Rashi points out, because you need to have a full kazayas of something. You need to have at least a full kazayas of achilas adam, of what a person is going to eat, or achilas mizbeach, what the mizbeach is going to consume. So in the case of an ola, everything is supposed to be consumed by the mizbeach, so we can combine it together. By the shlomim, we cannot do that. So, therefore, now, if you can't sprinkle the blood, then the clock never starts ticking, and therefore noser never comes into the picture. So that would be the point of the Braisa. In other words, the main chiddush Tosfos points out would indeed be the point that precisely this point that by the Ola we do say they do combine, because otherwise we might not have known that. We might have thought that maybe it's the same as the Shlomim and the other Korbanos. So, as the Gemara is going to point out, this is specifically according to Rabbi Yeshua, who demands that there should be a kazayas of something in order to be able to sprinkle the blood, as the Gemara is going to go on to say. So that takes care of this matter of noser. When a person eats noser, then yes, by all korbanos it can combine. But when it comes to sheni toisu, that there was something left over, and now on the basis of that you want to sprinkle the blood, then the braisa is telling you that there needs to be a complete kazayis, either of something that's going to be burnt or something that's going to be eaten. And in the case of the Ola, it doesn't matter. All of it is burnt anyway. And in the case of the Shlomim and other Korbanos, since you have a difference between what's eaten and what's burnt, then you have to have a kazayas of one or the other. You can't have a combination kazayas of both of them. Namely, this Braisa would be specifically according to Rabbi Yeshua. The Tanya, Rabbi Yeshua, and the Kolas Vachim Shabbat Torah, all Korbanos in the Torah, except for the Ola, Shenishtayim and Kezayis Vosser, if there is a Kezayis of flesh left, the Kezayis Chelev, or there is a Kezayis of Chelev, Zerdakas Adam, then he can sprinkle the blood. Chatzizayis Vosser, Chatzizayis Chelev, but if there's only a half Kezayis of meat, and half a kazayas of chaylev, ein zerikas adam, he cannot sprinkle the blood, says Rabbi Yeshua, because we learned earlier, we learned a few days ago, since the pasuk says, va'asisa olas secha, ha'boser v'hadam, you should offer your olas, the blood and the flesh, and the flesh and the blood, and Rabbi Yeshua learns from that, imein dam ein boser, if there's no flesh to either eat or burn on the mizbeach, then you can't sprinkle the blood. We said we lived a few days ago to be at Rebel Yezer. Disagreed with that, but so our, the Braisa that we brought over here would be according to Rabbi Yeshua that you must always have a Kezias available of one or the other. And without that, you can't sprinkle the blood, and without sprinkling the blood, the Noisil clock never starts ticking. Tosfos brings in this connection that the Gemara has not brought over here an answer to reconcile the Mishnah in Me'ilah and the Braisa and the Tesefta regarding Tomei. We talked about Pigol, we talked about Noser, but where is the reconciliation as far as Tomei? Tosfos points out that there are actually manuscripts of the Gemara that take out the word Tomei from the original Braisa, and they only say that and according to that, the Braisa would say only that he's chayiv because of Pigul and Noser, but not Tomei, because we haven't ended up explaining how we reconcile Tomei. However, Tosfos says that no, the same basic answer will work for Tomei as a to say the same basic answer will work for Tomei as well. That there's a difference between there'll be a difference between whether he's them becoming Tomei and then sprinkling the blood versus the person himself being Tomei. Tosfos actually brings a different girsa that we're talking about. We're talking about Shemi Tosu. Yeah, Shemi Tosu Adshulam Nizuk Adam Omani Rabbi Yeshua. Yeah, that's Tosfos says that this is the correct girsa. So what about Tomei? So we're saying that once the blood was sprinkled properly, and you have, when it comes to the oila, the chiddush is again that you have by the oila that you have a kezias of combined of the meat and the emurim, and it's a valid zrika, then we're saying that now kozel matiro, and now the concept of tomei could apply to it as opposed to when that had not been done. So therefore, that's how we can answer tomei. So yes, tomei applies to all the korbanos, but by the other korbanos, if you didn't have a kezias of meat left or a kezias of emurim left, then you can't sprinkle the blood, and therefore tomei doesn't come into the picture even. So the same basic answer will work for that as well. And the braisa continues over oila. Now, on the other hand, by an oila, chatzi zayis vosav, chatzi zayis chelev, even if there's only a half kezias of flesh and a half of chelev, zurekas adam, you could still sprinkle the blood. Mitnei shekula kolah, because the whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach anyway, and there's no difference between the flesh and the emurim as far as that. And then the braisa finishes off mincha. Now, on the other hand, when it comes to a mincha, after the kula kayemes, even if the whole mincha is intact, lo yizrek, you should not sprinkle the blood. So the Gemara asks, mincha maya vidka. What is it? How does a mincha come in over here? There's no zrikas adam when it comes to a mincha. Amra papa. What it means is minchas nesachim abori mazevach. It means the minchas nesachim that comes together with the korban. The point is, in other words, so you have many korbanos, an ola, a shlomim, a toda, etc., come with nesachim. You would have thought that now we're talking about the case where most of the korban, the most of the body of the korban went missing, and you have left it, but all you have is the blood, and now you want to sprinkle it. So we said there has to be at least the kezias left of either the meat or the emurim. The point is the mincha, even though the minchas nesachim goes together with the korban, it does not enter this category. Suppose that the entire body of the korban was lost or destroyed or became tomei or what have you, and all you have left is the minchas nesachim. That's not a valid reason to go and sprinkle the blood because it's not part of the korban itself. So the point is, in other words, again, the braisa and amar aleph that we brought, that we derived from our Mishnah, the braisa and the tesefta, is according to Rabbi Yeshua. And therefore, in that regard, there's a difference between an ola and the other korbanos, as this braisa that we just quoted now spells out, whereby an ola you can combine together a kezias out of meat and emurim, and by other korbanos you cannot. Okay. The Mishnah continues, talking more about the matter of halah b'chutz. A koimetz, if a person were to offer the koimetz of a mincha outside of this mikdash, so we have to figure, this Mishnah is going to focus on how much of them does he have to be makir to be chayim. The previous Mishnah had said that anything that's kosher or posel and psulah b'chodesh, then a person is chayim, and we had a braisa that spelled out a bunch of, that listed out a bunch of things, including the koimetz and levoina and so forth. Now we're going to focus on for each one of them, how much of it does he need to how much of it does he need to be mashed outside the Azara in order to be chayav? So the Mishnah says that koymet, when he offers the koymet, the levoina or the levoina of the mincha, the ktoras or the ktoras, or minchas koyanim or the mincha of koyanim which is completely burned, or minchas koyim mashiach, or the mincha, the daily mincha of the koyim gadol, minchas chavitin which is also burned, or minchas nisachim, or the minchas nisachim that comes with the korban. And Amar Aleph, Tosfos had wondered why the braisa that we had there didn't list minchas nisachim, but this Mishnah does. Anyways, if a person were to offer even a kezayis of them outside the Azara, then he's chayim. Then he's chayim. Rabbi Eliezer Poiter, actually Yaakov is kulon, however, Rabbi Eliezer patters him unless he offers the whole thing, the entire koimus of levoina, etc. Because now the idea is, we learned yesterday, we talked about that the word oisoi in the pasuk, that he doesn't bring oisoi to the Pesach HaOmoed, then that makes him chayav koris, or chatash. Now, we said that oisoi means only when it's whole, not when it's missing something. So the Tanakhama of our Mishnah holds that having a kezayis of it is enough for it to be considered whole. But a kezayis is enough to be considered a whole amount, and therefore he's chayav for that. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer holds that oisoi refers to the thing as not, in other words, what's the minimum amount of any of these things you'd have to burn, that a person would burn, would be a kezayis. So he's machayav for even a kezayis outside the Azara. Rabbi Eliezer would hold that it would apply to the whole thing. Now, Rashi points out, Rabbi Eliezer did not argue in the previous Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Poiter, actually Yaakov is Kulon, here in our Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer patters him unless he offers the whole thing. But in the previous Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer had not argued. That means he does agree that Oisoi means the amount he's supposed to burn. But the difference is that with an Ola, strictly speaking, none of it needs to burn on the Mizbeah. I mean, it's supposed to be burnt on the Mizbeah, obviously. But suppose the blood was sprinkled, and then before they had a chance to offer the rest of the korban on the Mizbeah, it became possible or lost or what have you, the korban would still be completely kosher. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer agrees that he doesn't have to be makriv the entire oila in order to be chayav. It's enough that he's makriv a kezayis of it. But when it comes to these things, the entire koymet has to be offered. If you have less than, as we're going to learn in Menachos, if you don't bring the entire ketores, then the mincha is possible. If you don't bring the entire amount of levoina that's supposed to be there, the minimum amount of levoina, as we'll learn in the Gemara, then the korban is not kosher. Well, therefore, it's not roi lover bifnim. So then the flip side of it has to be that if he does it outside, then he's not going to be chayim. Whereas according to the Chachamim, they point out that the fact is, as long as you have the entire thing there, it is in fact possible to offer it piecemeal. Rashi points out that we're learning Menachos, that Bez Hashem, that, for example, with the koymets, if you were to offer half the koymets and then later on take the other half of the koymets and bring it on the Mizbeah, that would be perfectly kosher. You don't have to be makriv the whole koymets at all. It is true the koymets can't be missing anything before you offer it on the Mizbeah, but even if you offered it in pieces, it would still be kosher. So now, the flip side of that then is that doing that outside the Beis Hamikdash is going to be mechayavim. So then, when we learned yesterday, we had the whole, we had the whole thing about when a person offers multiple Eivorim, when is he chayev and when not, and we had a machloikas within that, about what is considered chosir, if he cuts up a piece into Eivorim. So that would be, we had other tanoim that we said that held that it has to be a complete limb at a time. The Mishnah continues. So again, the Mishnah had said that it's chayav for even a kezayis. Rabbi Eliezer is only if he offers the whole thing. But all of these things, if he did offer them inside the Azara, mostly the Shia man kezayis, and he left over one kezayis, the kriva b'chutz, and then he offered it outside the Azara, chayav. Then he's going to be chayav according to everybody. Because according to the Tanakhama, definitely, because it's Kazayas, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, at this point, the offering of it has been finished. In the Azara itself, if he had brought it, and then if he had brought the whole thing, he would have been Chayav. Now, at this point, he finished bringing it outside the Azara and did at least the Kazayas, and therefore he's Chayav for that. Rabbi Eliezer would only say that when you have the entire thing together, then you have to be makriv the whole thing together, the entire koimetz together, and so forth. But he would agree that if part of it was done inside the azara and part outside, he is going to be chayiv. Conversely, if any of these things before they were burnt, something of it was missing, was there was lost, or was burnt, or whatever, the kriva b'chutz, and he offered it outside, potter, then he will be potter, because then it's not roi lover b'fnim. If the koimetz, for example, as we're learning in Menachos, if a koimetz has any part of it go missing before it's offered on the mizbeach, then you can't be makri that koimetz, and that mincha is not going to become kosher. So it's not roi lover b'fnim. Now, does this refer to Lavoina? First, Rashi says that no, this part can't be referring to Lavoina because you have an opinion of you have Machlokas, which we'll learn in Menachos, about how much Lavoina does there have to be, the minimum amount of Lavoina there has to be on a Mincha for it to be kosher. Reb Shimon holds even one grain of Lavoina, and Reb Yehuda holds two. How could we be talking about less than the proper amount of Lavoina according to Reb Shimon? It's impossible because the minimum is one thing. But then Rashi says maybe it could refer to Lavoina as well, and we could say if it was even less than that. One flake of Lavoina, I guess the idea is the flakes have a certain minimum size, and therefore if it's less than that, then it wouldn't be even that. Then it wouldn't be Roy Lover Gifnin. So two possibilities whether in fact, in the case of Lavoina, if it's missing, is he chayev, if he brings some of that Lavoina outside, it really depends on how much Lavoina we say there needs to be. The Mishnah finishes off, Makriv Kodshim Ve'emurim Bachutz, if the person were to offer the meat of the Emurim, the meat of the Kodshim, and the Emurim, when they're all combined together, when they're all connected together, Chayev, then he's Chayev. We don't say, as we'll learn in the Gemara tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, maybe we should say the flesh is considered a Hatzitza, and maybe therefore it should not be considered that he offered the Emurim, because they're being blocked by the Basar. We don't say that as we'll learn. We don't say that as we'll learn in the Gemara tomorrow, because we'll learn a few different opinions in the Gemara of why we wouldn't say that. Okay. The Gemara starts off, goes to Bach, by the way, changes the word hamakriv to hamala to be consistent with the rest of the that we're talking about over here, because we're talking about halal bachutz. Okay. The Mishnah says, Ton Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, hamak to kezayis bachutz, if a person were to offer a kezayis of the keturis outside, kezayis keturis bachutz, Shittim HaKobresis adds the words, if he offers a kezayis of keturis bachutz, then he'd be chayiv. On the other hand, if he were to offer a half a pras, which is less than the amount that you're supposed to offer, because as we say in morning davening, in Pitchim Akhtaris, pras b'shachas or fast v'en habayim, you're supposed to offer a half a mona of the Akhtaris in the morning and a half in the afternoon. So now, if he does less than that in the inside, then the braisa is saying chayim. Hamakta kazayis v'chutz chayim, hatsi pras b'fnim potter. But if he offers a half kazayis, if he offers a half a pras b'fnim, then he'd be potter because the minimum amount that he's supposed to be doing inside is a pras. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? My potter zor. So the Gemara says we would assume that it's potter when he does a half a pras inside. The obvious thing would be to think that this is a case where the person should have been chayev, and nevertheless we say it's potter because it's less than the proper amount. The question is, my potter zor. You're telling me that a zor is potter for offering a half a pras? Am I? Why should he be potter? Haktori. The fact is, he did burn an amount that would be chayim. We just said the braisa said that if he offers a kazayis of the keturis outside the azara, then he would be chayim. So we clearly see that a kazayis of keturis is enough to be mechayev him. Well, then in that case, if he's a zor and he does that same kazayis of keturis inside the azara, he ought to be chayev as well because he's a zor. Why are we saying that he'd be potter? Rashi points out in this connection that the fact that we say that you have to bring a pras b'shachas or pras ben habayim is a Rashi points out a little further along is only midrabbanan. Midaraisa, you could be makir with any amount. There's no shiur, and therefore the minimum would be a kazayas. The Mishnah on Melach actually brings from Tosfos that actually the pras b'shachmas or pras ben abayim is alochal moshe misinai. But nevertheless, that b'diavad a kazayas would be enough. So if we mean that, then why should a zor be potter for offering a kazayas when that would be enough to be mechayev if he did it outside the azara, and possibly even enough to be mechayev him if he, and apparently even enough to be mechayev? So why shouldn't it be enough to be mechayev him if he a zor does it in the inside of the azara? So Gemara says Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav Yirmiyah ba'Aba, Amar Rav, my potter tzibur. You know what? It doesn't mean potter as in a person who does this is potter from Kores or what have you. It means that the tzibur is potter in the sense that they've been yotze the mitzvah of Kores. Even though it was less than a pras b'shachas, a pras ben abayim, nevertheless, they were still yotze, even though it was a kazayis. However, Omer Rav Zeira, ikashali hokashali. However, Rav Zeira says on that, if I'm going to have a question on this price, so Rav Zeira had just said he's the end of this chain who said that it means potter tzibur. But now Rav Zeira, having quoted that, says I have a problem with that. E kashali, if I have a question on this for kashali, then I have the following question. Hodu Omer Rav Allah, Rav says regarding this brisa, the Rabbi Eliezer Moida, that in this case, even Rabbi Eliezer of our Mishnah, who holds that he has to offer the whole thing in order to be chayav for halal b'chutz, in this case, with the Torah, even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that a kazayas is enough. So the whole Rabbi Eliezer lavak Torah, he called them, because Rabbi Eliezer had said that any time it's not a kosher korban inside, then he's not chayav for outside. Therefore, he had said that. For example, as far as the korban, given that if you don't offer the whole korban, you don't have a kosher korban, then Rabbi Eliezer had said the flip side of it is if you offer a kazayis of the korban outside, he can't be chayav because that's not something that would have been roi to make korban kosher. Well, then by the same logic, if Rabbi Eliezer, so if you're going to tell me that he's chayav for kazayis b'chutz, then it's chayav for kazayis b'chutz. The question is, Rabbi Eliezer is saying in the Mishnah that if you offered less than a pras, it shouldn't work because a pras is the minimum amount for the Torah. So why would Rabbi Eliezer agree that he's chayav for only a kazayis? So the answer is Omer Rava Bak Torah the Hechel the Kula Amalei Pligi. You know what? When it comes to the offering the daily Torahs and the Hechel twice a day, then there's no argument that they are Yotze with the Kazayas. Because again, as Rashi says, there's no shiur from it, Daraisa of the minimum amount. So you do have to have a Kazayas, because less than that, it's not called Bak Torah. But again, the Mishnah of Melech brings from Tosfos that actually is Halacha L'Moshe Sinai, but part of that Halacha L'Moshe Sinai is that the Diyavid of Kazayas they would be Yotze. So the Mishnah Melech in that connection brings an interesting point. We know the Gemara talks about in Krisis that if a person duplicates the Ketores exactly according to its ingredients, then he's Chayav Kores, the Torah tells us. However, now a person does not, now we say every day in Davening that every year they would prepare 368 mana. Nevertheless, the person is not Chayav only if he compounds that amount of Ketores. He's Chayav even if he compounds only a half of mana, a pras, because that's the minimum amount that would be brought. Now, if you're going to say that that amount is only Midirah Banan, and Midirah Raisa, they could bring even a Kazayas, then we should say that he's Chayav Kores, even if he compounds only a Kazayas from Torah. The fact that he's Chayav only if he does a Panas shows, says the Mishnah of Malacha, must be Allah HaMashim Sikri. In any case, again, so we're saying, so Rabbi is saying, when it comes to offering in the Hechel, there's no question that either we say that Minat Torah, there's no shear according to Rashi, or according to Tosfos, there is a shear, but part of that shear is also, even though you have to have a pras, that if the Dievid you are makriv a kazayis, you yotze. So therefore, so that's what the Braisa means. Potter tzibur, it means that Rav Zeira had explained in the name of Rab, that it means potter tzibur, that it means that tzibur is yotze, having brought a kazayis. So, but, and then, even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that on the converse, if now he takes a kazayis and burns it outside the azara, then he will be chayav. He pligi back Torah the pinim. The machlokas, says Rabbah, would be strictly as far as the offering of Torah in the Kodesh HaKadosh. Now, what is the minimum amount for that? Now, there, the Torah tells us that he has to take a double handful. So, a kazayis is a lot less than that. So the Marsav and Maloy Chofna of Dafka. So Rabbi Eliezer holds that when it says Maloy Chofna, that it has to be a double handful, that means specifically a Maloy Chofna, which is much more than a Pizayas, and that he has to offer it all at once, and that therefore, the flip side of it is, if now if you were to take that Torah on Yom Kippur and offer it outside the Azara, says Rabbi Eliezer, he would be chayiv only if he offers the entire Maloy Chofna, because less than that, you don't have a kosher korban. Rabbi Eliezer learns that way. Whereas the Tanakama, where's the Chachamim hold that no, even by Yom Kippur, even though it says Maloy Chofna, doesn't mean a Dafka has to be Maloy Chofna. It could be maybe even less than that. Even a Kazayas would be enough to be Mechayev. Tosfos discusses a point. After all, the same way as a koimetz can be offered twice, the same way can't this be offered twice also. But no, the difference is that a koimetz, it's capable of becoming pigle. It's sort of capable of causing pigle. Well, you have in mind to offer a kazayas of the koimetz outside, so therefore it's enough for him to be mechayev a kazayas, to be mechayev on a kazayas outside the azara as well. Fine, minchas kohenim, minchas kohen mashiach, but they are mincha and therefore in the same category, and therefore they'll all be under the category of a kazayis. But as far as ketores, we don't find pigul is not relevant to the ketores, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, because it doesn't have a matir, and on top of that, we even add an opinion of Rabbi Yossi that it only applies to things that are on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, so it must be because they hold Maloy Chofnav is lab dafka, and the fact even that he put it in the spoon is not considered significant, and if he were to take a kazayis of it and offer it the dievet, he would be yotze, and therefore, if he offers that same kazayas outside the Azara, then he would be chayev. Then he'd be chayev kores or achatos. The Sfas Emes points out, well, at least though, we should be mechayev and fine. He did for he's on the grounds of Kodesh HaKadoshim. Rabbi Eliezer can say he's potter because it wasn't the whole thing. But what about at least we should be mechayev on the grounds he didn't do it in the Heichal either, and therefore it's not the regular kodesh that was done in the Heichal. And he says, because we're talking about, let's say he offered it in a pan outside the Azara, and he learned in the Mishnah, we learned it a couple of Mishnayos ago, that Rabbi Yossi had said that there needs to be Dafka Mizbeach. But after all, when it comes to Yom Kippur, when it comes to the Ketores of Yom Kippur, it's anyway not offered in a Mizbeach, it's offered to begin with in a pan. Therefore, we could be Mechayiv him on the grounds of the Ketores of Yom Kippur, but only if it's the complete amount of Yom Kippur, says Rabbi Eliezer, and therefore that means the entire Maloy Chofna, and no less. So that would be the Machlokas. Okay, Omele Abaya, however, Abaya says to Rabbah, that doesn't work. When the Torah says at the end of the Avodah of Yom Kippur, it says it should be for you, l'chukas olam, then it means you have to do exactly as it says in the Pasuk, and that refers to the Avodah specifically, the specific Avodahs of Yom Kippur, the specific ones that are being done inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and therefore everything that it says over there is Dafka. So that means, what are you telling me that the Chachamim can say that Maloy Chofnav is not really meant exactly Maloy Chofnav? It does. It has to mean Maloy Chofnav exactly because the Pasuk says so, and at the end it says Chukah. Elo, Omer Abayas, Abayas says no. We're going to have to understand the Machlokas as follows. Back Torah b'fnim kol amalei kli. On the contrary, when it comes to the offering inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there's no argument. Even the Chachamim will agree that only if he offers the entire Maloy Chofnav outside the Azara is he going to be Chayim. Because Maloy Chofnav means exactly that. Maloy Chofnav, no less. Ki pligi back charab the chutz. The machloek, no, so rather, back charab b'fnim, when it comes to offering it in the Kurdish Kedarka Manim Kippur, there's no question he means Maloy Chofnav, and if he offers any less than Maloy Chofnav, he's not been yotze the mitzvah. Ki pligi back charab the chutz. The machloekus would only be if he took that same Torah of Yom Kippur, and instead of offering it in the Kurdish Kedarshim, he went and did it outside the Azara, then what would happen? The Tanakhama holds that we can learn what happens b'fnim from what happens b'chutz. Just like b'chutz is chayev for only a kazayis, so he says that we can. What he says is that the same that we can learn p'nim from chutz. We can learn the p'nim, just like in the case of the ketores that was supposed to be brought in the heichal, and now he does it outside. Then there's a kazayis. The same way would apply to the ketores of p'nim, even though yes, when it comes to offering it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it has to be the entire maloy chofnav, the entire spoonful that contains maloy chofnav. But when it comes to offering it outside, the same way as if you chayev for a kazayis. kazayis of the Torahs of the Hefel for only a kazayis, the same way he's chayiv over here also for the Torahs of the Kurdish production for only a kazayis, even though that would not be an amount to be mechatzim to for him to be yotze in the Hefel. Well, Maus of a loyofin, and Rabbi Eliezer says you can't learn that. Sure, by the Torahs of the Hefel, Rib Dieved, you can offer only a kazayis, then fine. And the one in the Kurdish production, where you have to offer the entire Maloy Chofrim, and if not, you're not Yotze, then Rabbi Eliezer says, well, then if you offer it outside the Azara, it also has to be the entire Maloy Chofrim, and not only a Kazayis. You can't learn one from the other, because we see, by Yom Kippur, the Torah insists on Maloy Chofrim. Okay, that's one way of answering the question. Omar Rava, but Rava says, the problem with that is, Ashta Chutzmich Chutzmich Lo Yalfi Rabbanan. We see that the Chachamim don't even learn chutz from chutz, as we're going to say, later on. The Chachamim do not learn, for example, from Nisuch HaYayin, which takes place on the Mizbeach HaChitzen, and the Chachamim, as the Gemara is going to discuss, we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that the Chachamim do not learn it from Brunin the Chelev, which is also on the Mizbeach HaChitzen. And we don't say that, we don't say when it comes to Chelev, there's no minimum amount, and therefore by the wine there also should be no minimum amount. So we're going to see that. We're going to see on top of the next Talmud, which we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that the Chachamim do not make that equation. So they're not even learning something that happens on the Mizbeach HaChitzen from something else that happens on the Mizbeach HaChitzen. They're not learning the wine, but we're going to learn it now in the Braisa. And then the Gemara will continue discussing it tomorrow. So we see that the Chachamim don't even learn chutz from chutz. Pnim from chutz miboy. Would you need to be said that the Chachamim do not learn pnim from chutz? Obviously they don't. So therefore, why would we think that the Chachamim are going to learn and say, because when it comes to the Ketoros of chutz in the Heichel, that a person is chayv for only a kazayis, therefore when it comes to the Ketoros of pnim, then he'd also be chayv for a kazayis. They're not going to do that. They're not even learning chutz from chutz. They're going to say everything has its own individual seal. Well, then, when it comes to the ketoros of bifnim, the ketoros of the Kurdish production, which, unlike the regular daily ketoros, has a minimum shear because it has to be maloy chofnav and no less, as Abaya had pointed out, then why should the chachamim be mechayev him for only a kazayis of it when it's outside the azara? So what do we mean? Mahi, where do we see the chachamim don't learn chutz from chutz? The Tanya, as we learn in Braisa. You would think that if a person offers less than a kazayis and the koymets outside the azara, or pochas mikazayis emurim, or less than a kazayis emurim, or if he pours less than 3 lugim of wine, pochas mishloshes lugim mayim, or less than 3 lugim of water on sukkahs, yehei chayev, you would think that he's chayev, tamad loyma, lasos, therefore the pasuk says lasos, and from that we learn, ala sholem chayev, vein chayev ala chotzer, that he's chayev only for what's complete, for a complete shear, and not for anything else. So we see, now consider, says Rava, while pochas mishloshes lugim, the ispo kamazesim, now less than 3 lugim is still definitely more than a lot of kazesim, the lo yalfi rabbanon, chutz mechutz, and yet the chachamim are not saying that we learn chutz from chutz, that they're not learning from, here we're saying that if he offered a kazayis of emurim, that if he offered a kazayis of emurim would be enough to be mechayev him. We don't say, therefore, if he's menasech, only a kazayis of wine he should be mechayev. No, we're saying that he needs to be lugim. So we see that chachamim are not even deriving one thing of chutz from another thing of chutz. So what makes you think? What makes you think, says Rava to Abaya, that the chachamim would learn pnim from chutz and say that just like with the keteras of chutz, he's chayev for only a kazayis. The same way for the keteras of pnim, he'd be chayev only a kazayis, even though the shear for offering it inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim is Maloy Chofnav doesn't work. So in other words, what we're going to say is with different kinds of things, there are going to be different shearing. Necessarily, therefore, we're going to say that when it comes to Nisuch, the minimum is 3 logim, and therefore you can't be chayv less than that. And therefore you can't learn from something that's going to be less than a kazayas. Rashi also points out, of necessity, this Braisa also has to be a point to the Chachamim against Rebbe Eliezer. According to Rebbe Eliezer, he'd be potter also for a kazayis unless Anshe Yaakov is kulon, as he said in the Mishnah, only if he offers the whole thing. Anyway, so Ella Amar Rava. So Rava says, here's another answer to reconcile then, or to explain what Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachamim would argue about regarding the Ketoros of Yom Kippur. We're not talking about the Ketoros of Yom Kippur at all. We're talking about the Ketoros of everyday But again, according to Rashi, there's no minimum shiur of it. There's no minimum shiur of it in Matan Torah. Therefore, the minimum is in practice is a kazayas. According to Tosfos, the vort is that there is a minimum shiur of Matan Torah of a pras. But nevertheless, if they offered only a kazayas, they really said. But the case would be he's going to come in with shnei chatzoy pras the mon. Suppose that he puts the two half pras in one keli. Now you need to place the ketores in a keli in order for it to be kosher. So now marstava kviyus mils, not a milsi. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that placing them together in the keli is considered a significant thing, and now it becomes one shear. And now therefore, if he were to take out of that keli and offer only part of it, then he would not. Then it would be possible because he doesn't have the entire thing. Marustov, a lot of milsi, whereas a honey hole that has no significance, it doesn't matter, it's still considered that a kazayas of it that he's not doing is still going to work. The fact that he put it into a keli is not going to make a difference. So we'll continue tomorrow, that's the Shem, and Rava is going to derive from that. Once Rava has explained the machlokas that way, then he's going to derive another din from that, and then we'll continue to discuss this matter of cases where things are missing, and he offers them, but how much he needs to be offering bachotz in order to be chayev, and more on these dinim of halal machlokas.